I'm JT.
And I'm George.
This is Podferatu.
Alright, Creepazoids.
Hope you brought your sleeping bags.
Oh, yeah. We're doing the entire Slumber Party Massacre franchise today. Four of these movies.
Yeah, and just out of the gate, I'm going to say 3 out of 4 ain't a bad ratio. There's only one of them that I was kind of like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, it was exactly the opposite. There was only one of them that I was like, yeah, okay, I like this one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope it's not the one I hate.
Had you watched any of them before?
No.
Okay.
No. I've watched all four of these within the last 2 weeks.
Yeah. I had seen the first one once before, the original. And then I watched the other three all this week.
Yeah, I was always under the impression that it was basically just a titty flick. So yeah. I didn't really have a whole lot of desire to watch it.
Yeah.
But when me and Sarah rewatched the Into the Darkness trilogy, all three of them, fucking 4.5 hours.
Yeah, right. About,
and when they got to these movies, they mentioned that they were, all of them are written and directed by women.
All directed by women.
So that kind of piqued my interest a little bit, especially like when they mentioned that it's kind of meta and it's kind of like a parody on the whole idea.
Now,
I was like, huh, well, let me check it out.
What I heard or read somewhere about the first one was that she really wanted to lean into the parody and the humor.
Yeah.
And the studio wanted a slasher flick. So to me, it ends up not doing either really, really effectively. But if you look, if you're paying attention, you can catch some of the parody.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which I think is really... We'll get to that.
A couple of things I found interesting right out of the gate. Sarah, the killer doesn't wear a mask. And it's not a mystery who he is.
Yeah.
We know exactly who he is right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate.
Right out of the gate, we know exactly who he is. This isn't a movie where you're doing a whole lot of thinking. It's just a slasher. And I think the weapon that they chose to arm him with is pretty damn creative.
Pretty damn creative.
It's like an 18-inch drill bit.
And pretty damn phallic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In by design.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Of course.
I mean, some of the shots in this movie.
Yeah. And the cover art.
Yeah.
And yeah. So overall, the four of them all together, just overall,
I think it's a pretty solid franchise.
Okay.
There's four of them. I like 75%.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't hate any of them.
Yeah, 50% of it, I can go so far as to say I fucking love.
But a lot of them, I was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine. You want to go right into the first one?
Slumber Party Massacre, number one.
1982. Amy Holden, the director.
My mouse is not mousing. Yes, Amy Holden Jones was the director. It was written by Amy Holden Jones and Rita Mae Brown. Stars Michelle Michaels, Robin Stile, and Michael Villilla, who was our killer.
Who, as we are fond of saying here at Podferatu, chewed it up and left no splinters.
None. So here's the synopsis from Ed Sutton. An 18-year-old high school girl is left at home by her parents, and she decides to have a slumber party. There is friction between some of the invited guests and the new girl, who is better at basketball than them. Time out. They also say, like, well, why don't you like her? And she says, she drinks too much milk.
Yeah.
And that's the girl's reason for disliking the other girl. But when we're supposed to believe that these are, like, 15, 16-year-old girls...
Right. Right.
It kind of tracks that they would have a stupid fucking reason for not liking
this girl. And she's better at basketball than the rest of them.
Yeah.
Watching them play basketball.
They were equally horrible.
They were all horrible.
So the girl decides to stay at home, which is conveniently across the street from the host's house. Meanwhile, a murderer of 5 people with a propensity for power tools has escaped and is at large and eventually makes his way to the slumber party, where the guests begin experiencing an attrition problem with only the new girl to help them. And the new girl has a little sister.
Right.
And we'll get to it, but the little sister becomes the protagonist of part 2.
Part 2, yes.
The tagline for this movie, you bring the pizza, I'll bring the drill.
I'll bring the drill.
I thought this movie was really smart. Okay. I thought it had a lot of really cool references to the idea that horror can tend to be misogynistic. It also kind of had a lot of feminist moments in this movie. That might be a conversation we should have at a Dead Talk. Is horror feminist?
Mm.
Right. I can see the argument for both, but that's not really the conversation we're having
here. Right.
I thought the kills were really great in this movie.
They were.
The killer is crazy as fuck.
Yeah.
Homie just wears denim from head to fucking toe, like, in a red shirt. He doesn't really talk a lot. He doesn't have, like, funny quips like Freddy. He doesn't stalk.
He doesn't really say anything until the very end.
Yeah, and what he says is so disturbing.
So disturbing.
It's so disturbing.
What is it? It takes a lot of love to do something like this.
Yeah, but doesn't he, earlier in the movie, he tells one of them, I love you.
Yeah, he says, I love you, and you're pretty. You're all pretty.
Yeah.
And he, it takes a lot of love to do something like this.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty fucking jacked up.
It's pretty smart, like you said.
Yeah, I did not expect to enjoy this movie.
I, on rewatching it the second time, thought it was a little slow. Not terribly slow, but there are parts of it where it was, which is weird for a 76-minute movie. But I didn't think the pacing worked all that terribly well. But some of the stuff that did work was great. I mean, the parody of stuff when the little sister goes into the refrigerator to get a beer and opens the door twice, and we see the body in the refrigerator, and then she closes the door again, and that to me was hilarious.
I thought it was freaking great.
And then she finally opens it and the body falls out. But
Movie has a really high kill count. There's 12 deaths in this movie. 12 of them. So a lot of them do happen off screen. So we have
a number of them happen off screen.
Yeah,
it's really only the two that we really see are the two guys that go to scare them. And then the scene with the pizza guy is pretty good. And this is another one of the areas where you could tell.
Actually, out of the 12 kills, only 3 of them happen off screen.
Off screen?
Only 3 of them happen off screen.
Yeah, but even some of the ones that happen on screen, you really don't see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So we have drilled in the head, drilled off screen, drilled through the back of the neck, majorly decapitated, drilled off screen again, eye gouged
out.
Was the pizza guy. The pizza guy got his eyes drilled out through the back of his skull.
Is there a minorly decapitated?
I don't know. Neil got stabbed in the chest 5 times.
5 times.
Jeff got drilled in the back and then drilled some more, it says. Jackie throat slashed with the drill. That was cool. When you have a weapon like that, I guess it gets harder to get creative with the kills, aside from where you drill the person on their body.
Right.
But him using it like a blade was what I thought was kind of cool. I wasn't expecting that when it happened. Kim got stabbed in the stomach with a knife. Coach Jana got her stomach slashed open with the drill, which was another really cool kill.
Which was another one that I was kind of like, I don't think that would kill you.
No, it would hurt.
Because the tip of that drill wasn't that long.
Yeah. I mean, if he got really deep,
but I don't think the tip of that drill could get that deep.
Yeah.
But,
and then Russ Thorne, the killer, he got stabbed, slashed,
de-handed,
and then impaled on a machete.
There's got to be a word for de-handed.
Is it just de-handed?
Like if you throw somebody out a window, it's defenestrated.
Which I love.
There's got to be a word for de-handed. Hmm. But anyway.
Yeah, let us know if you know. I loved it. I love this movie.
I liked it. I liked it.
Do we want to do individual score ratings for the movies as we go?
We could do that.
Okay.
I did like it. And the other thing that when we were talking about comedy and parody, another really good one, I was watching it and just going, what the fuck was when she takes the pizza out from under the pizza dude's hand?
Yeah.
And then puts it on his back.
Opens it up. Yeah, that was so fantastic. The line before, I think it's like, they touch him, and the one girl goes, he's cold. And the other girl goes, is the pizza?
Is the pizza?
Wow.
So, you can see where the parody was supposed to be.
There's a lot of really good moments of humor. I think the movie's fantastic.
Yeah.
I give it a strong 3.8.
I'll give it a 3.
A 3?
I'll give it a 3.
Okay. That's not bad.
I'm happy with a 3.
Is this one of the ones you liked or disliked?
This is one of the ones I disliked less than the ones I disliked.
Okay, so let's do this. How about at the end we rank the four?
Okay.
Let's see how do we
feel. Oh, okay. Okay. Part two. Loved part two.
I loved part two. Part two, I don't want to spoil the rest of this episode, but it very, very well may be my favorite.
Did not like part two.
I fucking love this stupid fucking movie. It is so goddamn.
I didn't like it because of it was. I didn't. You said I love this stupid fucking movie. I did not like this stupid fucking movie.
It's great because it's so fucking dumb.
I mean,
the idea is just bananas.
To their credit, who directed this one?
This one is written and directed by Deborah Brock.
Okay, I'll give her this. She committed to the bit.
She
leaned into this
hardcore. She leaned
like this. Like by the time
she leaned like Michael Jackson in the Smooth Criminal video.
Yeah. By the time she gets to this, the slasher idea has been so played out.
Yeah.
That what are you going to do besides not even parody, just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Caricature parody.
Yeah, this one didn't even come out until five years later in 1987.
Yeah. So I will give it that.
Yeah.
But
like the 80s were a weird time. We talk about that all the time. But there is a pretty strong difference between like a movie from 82 and a movie from 87.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like early 80s and late 80s, they're two different monsters in a way. And these movies are a very, very clear reflection of that.
Yeah. Movie. Yeah.
So in this one, the little sister of the protagonist from part one.
Right. Who
is a little older now.
Yeah. Now, the older sister is locked up because she couldn't cope with the aftermath.
Right. The situation has driven her crazy. Courtney, the younger sister of the new girl across the street in the first film, is all grown up now but suffers from nightmares about the big wet incident. That's what they refer to it as.
the big wet incident.
She and the other members of her female rock group go to a condo for the weekend to play music and have fun with their boyfriends. Courtney's dreams are of her sister, who is in a mental institution, warning her of having sex, and the dreams begin to spill into the real life, threatening Courtney and her friends as they begin experiencing an attrition problem. This movie...
They keep saying attrition
problem. I know. It's Ed Sutton again. Yeah, he likes that word.
Attrition problem.
Ed Sutton likes...
First of all, it's Crystal Bernard, which... If anybody doesn't remember, she was on a show. I think she started on this show that was all these waitresses.
Mm.
It was a sitcom.
Oh, Wings.
This was before Wings.
Oh.
And then there was Wings. She was okay in this. Some of it came off to me as a little hokey.
Hell yeah.
In terms of like how some of them act. I did like, what was her name? Maria? The one who looked like a really bad cross between Elvira and Anne Hathaway.
Oh, yeah. I thought this movie was so much fun. The killer is not the same killer.
No.
I mentioned to Sarah that in part one, she spends a good amount of time hiding under that couch.
Mm-hmm.
And she only gets to really see the killer's feet. And then very briefly at the end when they finally kill him.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe her memories of him are a little... And she was really young, too.
Right.
So maybe her memories of him are a little bit fuzzy. And her being in a rock band now, her psyche is kind of like mixing these ideas. But this movie is like a combination of the first Slumber Party Massacre, A Nightmare on Elm Street, and Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You know, that's not a bad way of looking at
that's
it.
That's what it felt like, because the movie is a musical, too.
It is a kind of musical, yeah.
It is so funny.
I mean...
It gave me a little type of horror vibes.
The more we talk about it, the more I'm kind of coming around and thinking, you know,
dude, this shit
movie's
was funny,
pretty
man.
Fucking bonkers.
Executive produced by Roger Corman.
That's true. He wanted
to keep that part a secret during the production.
Okay.
So they used a code name for him. Jennifer.
Oh, man.
They just referred to him as Jennifer.
That's great.
Here's another little fun fact about this movie.
Yes.
Heidi Kozak noticed that the cutoff jean shorts that she wears were getting shorter and shorter every day. She later found out that the costumers would pull threads out of them at the end of each filming day and make them shorter and shorter as a prank.
Wow.
When she finally discovered what was going on, she was given a new pair of shorts.
That's pretty funny.
That is pretty funny.
So, yeah, I mean, I might be coming around a little bit on this one, but it's still, it's so bonkers.
It is crazy.
And that freaking guitar, for God's sake.
The guitar is badass. It's this gnarly-ass, bright, like, fire engine red. The shape of it, it looks like some sort of, like, cymbal.
Mm-hmm.
And then the neck of the guitar is where the drill is.
And he
powers the drill by playing the guitar.
Yeah.
He looks like a 50s greaser.
Like a reject from Sha Na Na.
Yeah, he looks like he did a whole lot of meth and then walked off the stage of Grease. He looks so crazy.
But he's
funny as hell. And the guy who plays him just, again, eats and leaves.
No crumbs. No splinters.
No crumbs at all. It was unbelievable. I loved everything about this movie. The kills were fantastic. I like that for no apparent reason they leaned into a supernatural element. I thought that was great.
Which they never explained.
Never.
Which part of me is kind of annoyed by it, and part of me is like, no, of course they didn't explain it.
Because they didn't know.
Who cares?
Also, they probably didn't know either.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So it's like, you know.
I bet if you ask them, so is he real or is it all in her dreams?
Right.
They'd be like, it's up to you to decide.
Now, there was a point at which, and this is the point at which I knew I was taking this movie way too seriously. There was a point at which I thought Crystal Bernard was going to turn out to be the killer.
You gave this movie way too much credit.
Yeah.
Not that, which is probably why you didn't care for
it. It might
much.
Be. But
you can't. I'm coming around. Drill.
I gotta say, I'm coming around.
It's a rock and roll killer that sings tunes while, bro. Everything about it says, "Don't take me seriously."
That's I know, and maybe that's the problem. Maybe I took it way too seriously.
You may have. So let's look at some of the deaths. This one's not quite so heavy in the death department. This one's only got 7, but we have someone drilled through the back, drilled through the chest, drilled through the back, drilled in the stomach, slashed with drill, drilled in the chest. Dropped from high floor of a building, and then the driller killer was lit on fire and fell off the top of it. Yeah.
What did you think of the ending?
It was fine.
It was fine.
Like I said, I'm not expecting an Oscar winner. I looked at the cover art and I was like, yeah, this is gonna be a mess. Well, it's called Slumber Party Massacre. I'm not expecting a marvel of cinema.
But given the ending, it's I'm surprised there was never a follow up.
That's the thing. There are 3 of these movies, and none of them have anything to do with each other.
They don't.
And it didn't bother
the second one. The second one has a flimsy connection to the first one in terms of Courtney.
Yeah.
But other than that, something else that was funny about the second one. Did you catch the names? Courtney's last name is Bates.
Yeah, yeah. They're all
Officer Krueger.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Officer Voorhees. A family
that was
known
cool.
as a family referred to as the Cravens.
Right.
I was like, okay.
That's
all
nice.
Right.
I like stuff like that.
Yeah, I see what's going on here. And yet I took it too seriously.
In the Scream franchise, there's a family called Carpenter. I liked it just fine.
So skull ratings.
For this one gets a 4 from me.
Really?
I would recommend this one to anybody.
I originally came in here planning to give it a 2.
Oh, really?
And I will actually give it a 3.
Okay. So far, you've got them on
even. So far, they're on equal ground.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can respect that.
But I think I'm coming around. I think I did take it way too seriously and therefore expected things it was never going to give me. Because it is just bonkers.
So.
3, we found out.
Yeah.
We found 3 by accident.
When I originally pitched the episode to JT, I was like, you know what? I can't seem to find 3. Anywhere, so let's just do 1, 2, and the remake. He's like, okay, great. And I never, it never occurs to me to check YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's always the last place I think of, but that's where we ended up finding it. So JT found it. He sent me the link. And
I
was like, okay.
It's also on Prime.
Is it?
Yeah.
Not for free.
No,
I wasn't about to pay for
it. No. But I found that after. I found that after the fact. But yeah, so I found it on YouTube. And this is weird, because I found it on my laptop on YouTube. And then when I went to find it on my TV on YouTube,
I had a hard time
finding it.
Same.
So I basically had to watch it on my laptop, which pissed me off.
I was finally able to find it on...
Were you?
Yeah.
I gave up, because I figured I already have it on my laptop. I'll just watch it.
I realized that you can't type in the number 3. You have to do Roman numeral. Or it wouldn't find it. Which was, I fucking hate YouTube's search engine.
Well, there you go. There's your problem.
So, part three.
Part three.
Part three released in 1990.
Which has absolutely nothing to do with parts one or two.
At all.
At
it
all.
It is similar in concept and alone. So, after a hard day of volleyball at the beach.
Hard day of volleyball.
A teen whose parents are away decides to have a slumber party with her girlfriends. Their boyfriends predictably show up to scare them, but a stranger from the beach is also seen lurking around the house. Soon the group begins experiencing an attrition problem. Thank you, Ed Sutton. Ed Sutton loves that fucking word.
That's funny.
Three reviews
for three attrition problems.
There's three attrition problems. The tagline for this movie, it's driller time, and this bit's for you.
That's good.
This one is written by Catherine Sirian and directed by Sally Madison. Again, I really love that these are all written and directed by women. It's pretty fantastic. So this is the one, this is my my one of the four that I was like, it just didn't capture the charm and humor and wit, I think, of the first two. This one tried too hard to be a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
This one becomes a whodunit, which brings me to a really good point. The first one is your basic slasher.
Slasher.
Your second one goes into a very supernatural, hella campy territory.
Yeah.
And this one's a bit of a whodunit.
It is.
You don't know who it is. It's red herring after red herring. Oh, my God. It was like a bag of Swedish fish.
Almost like almost a little bit of a giallo vibe. In terms of the red herrings.
Yeah, I get that.
Just a little bit.
Just from what I know of how giallo, there's a shit ton of continuity errors.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even notice
that. Like, when Duncan and Frank are murdered, you can see their bodies on the floor of the foyer.
Uh-huh.
In a subsequent shot, the bodies have been removed, and then later on, they reappear.
Yeah. That's great.
I don't know. I wanted to like this. It was the last of the four that I watched, and I really wanted to be like, let's round this out. But it's certainly, in my opinion, the weaker.
It is certainly the weakest of the four.
I genuinely didn't really care for it. I found myself checking the time.
Yes, I didn't dislike it, but I didn't enjoy it.
It was super duper slow.
Super slow.
It could have been a lot better than
It was a whodunit, but it was super predictable.
Yes.
I mean, you knew almost immediately that the weirdo from the beach was not going to be the killer.
Right.
He was creepy. He was creepy. Although, I didn't completely expect the killer to be who it was.
Refresh my memory.
It was the new guy, Ken.
Oh, yeah.
Who kills What's-Her-Face right after they have sex. Right after they don't have sex because he can't perform.
Right, because he says he thinks he drank too much.
Yeah. Weird backstory for him, because he was molested by an uncle.
Yeah, this one, I don't know, man. It didn't do it for me.
Yeah.
It didn't give me what the other three gave.
Wait, is this the one, maybe this is the one that had, no, I'm right. I was right the first time. Never mind.
So, I mean, it had a pretty high kill count, but even the kills weren't really, it was okay, I guess.
It was okay.
So this, we got a drill through the back. We got stabbed in the torso with a signpost.
Yes.
They have drilled against the ground, which that one was pretty rough. Electrocuted in a bathtub with a vibrator.
Remember that?
What the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Feet cut off with a chainsaw. The beach weirdo was found dead with a steak in his mouth after he, like, tried to sneak in.
Right.
Because he breaks into the house.
Right.
We know that he breaks in, but then, like, we don't see him anymore.
And then
we find his dead body.
And it's never, like, explained why he breaks. Like, there's no... We have no motivation for that guy other than he's the weirdo from the beach.
Yeah, he found her journal.
Yeah.
And decided to bring it back and drop it off,
but then he goes into the
bed, goes around back to try to sneak into the cellar. Duncan got his stomach slashed with the drill. Frank got smacked in the face with the drill. Janine crashed through the window, drilled to death. We got a drill in the chest. Ken says we got drilled all to hell by Jackie. Diane stabbed a couple of times by Ken.
What's the body count on this one?
12.
12.
Well, 13 if you count the suicide from Billy Sybil.
Okay.
I just didn't enjoy it.
No, it was
not. It had the potential to be pretty good, but they tried too hard to be more serious.
It wasn't fun.
No. I think they missed the point of what made the first two so great.
Yeah. So
this one probably only gets like a 2.8.
I gave it a 2.
2.5.
I gave it a 2.
Yeah, I'm going to settle in at a 2.5. 2.5. Didn't enjoy it.
No.
Just did not enjoy it. All three of these movies so far have done that shot where it's from the rear, it's from behind the killer. There are victims on the floor, and where the camera is shooting through the killer's legs.
And the, and the drill is hanging right down between, yeah.
It's the cover of the first one. It's it's an iconic image.
It is an iconic
image. It's one of the most intelligent shots in horror. It's so cool. I like that they recognized how important that shot was.
Right.
And that they brought a lot of that stuff back.
All right, let's talk remake.
So the remake. I told JT, when I saw this movie, had I seen this before we did our top remakes episode, this would have probably been in at least the number one or two spot.
Yeah, it probably would have been on, it definitely would have been on my list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one is,
this is a
fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and it's another one of those, in my opinion, it's another one of those movies. And I was going to say one of those rare occasions, but this isn't really that rare. But it also doesn't really happen that often. But this is one of those times where the remake, to me, beats the shit out of the original.
It does. It does. Without being disrespectful to the original, it still, again, captures the humor. I think it captures the vibe while still giving you something new. There's a fairly cool twist.
The angle is
different. Oh, I thought it was so smart.
A cool twist, a really good lean into some parody. The scene with the half-naked boys instead of half-naked girls.
Yes, it's so
cracked
good.
Me
it's
up.
So great.
And then the scene with the boy's naked butt in the shower instead of a girl.
Yes.
It was great.
It's so fantastic. And then at the beginning when the girls are like dancing around and they're all dressed in their little... They're wearing the outfits that the girls wore in part one.
Yes.
So there's an homage there. So what we find out is these girls, they go to have their slumber party at this cabin. And they're partying. Everything's going great. You soon find out that one of them's mother is a survivor.
We find that out from the cold open.
Right.
One of them, the one survived just like in the original. Well, three of them survive in the original.
Right. So one of them is their mom.
Yeah.
And it's kind of been fucking with her mom her whole life. It's caused some serious anxiety.
It caused her to be really overprotective of her daughter.
So her daughter and her friends decide they're going to go to this cabin, have a slumber party in hopes...
Reenact the whole thing.
In hopes of luring the killer out so that they can get their revenge on
him. Yes, because the mother survives and knocks him into a lake. And everybody assumed he died, but they never find the body.
Right. And there have been other murders, and they assume that he's just been coming back. Based on the 1982 original, this remake follows Dana and a group of her friends as they go on a trip to have a slumber party. But after car trouble causes them to stay at a secluded cabin, their fun turns to terror as their night becomes a fight for survival as they must escape the drill-wielding killer.
And then they start suffering an attrition problem.
So this one had a bunch of nods and Easter eggs to the
first
two films.
So much. I mean, the one guy even has the...
He's holding the guitar. Yeah, he's holding the guitar.
It's got so many gestures to the original three.
Yeah, this one also written and directed by women. This one was written by Suzanne Kelly and directed by Danishka Esterhazy. What an amazing film. Also, kind of feel like maybe it's not talked about a lot. It might not be in... The average horror fans,
it might not be.
I didn't even know it existed.
I haven't heard anybody talking about this movie.
Me neither. I didn't know it existed. It's so smart. It's bloody. It's fun. It's violent and gets kind of...
It's violent.
Intense at certain points.
But does get very funny. When they kill Russ Thorne, the misdirection on who the other killer is really well done.
And his dialogue
took me a minute.
Yeah, Russ Thorne's dialogue is directly from the first movie,
but his voice,
yeah,
is creepy as hell.
Yeah, because the first killer had like a really squeaky, almost childlike voice. It was weird.
The second one almost sounded female.
Yeah,
and very high pitched. It was very
We have that pillow fight scene, which is a reference to the other movie.
Yes, only with the guys.
Yeah, the one girl is wearing the same jersey as the girl from the other movie.
Yeah.
The Space Baby t-shirt is from the other movie. There's just tons and tons of little stuff in this movie.
I love, just as a personal bit in the whole movie, when the guy in the shower gets killed with a Sawzall.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought was Mom and Dad.
Sawzall.
Because it saws all.
The dialogue, there's a really funny line where the girl, like, they're trying to figure out what to do. And the one guy goes out to, like, investigate.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl, Dana's like, no, you shouldn't go with him. And he's like, I know, but my toxic masculinity is forcing me into it.
That was pretty good. And I thought for a minute he was the killer, the next killer. Because he had that weird look on his face when he was watching them basically mutilate the dead body. And he had this look on his face. And I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Right? And then...
But he kind of liked it a little bit.
Yeah. But then, I don't know if I want to give away who the killer was or not.
No, you know what? This came out in 2021, which is... It's been 2 years, but I don't think many people have heard of this movie.
No. I think people need to check this one out.
I genuinely think if you haven't checked out this franchise, even just for completion's sake, go ahead and watch the third one, too. Just knowing that if you enjoy one and two, you're going to probably be a little disappointed with three. But I genuinely think this is one of the best and most solid franchises, period. It's little. It's only 4 movies.
Yeah.
So it's easier to say that when you've got less films in the franchise. Right. But I think it's really great.
Okay.
Overall, I think it's also very consistent. I will say that.
It is consistent. Right down to the plot points in some of the shots. There are obviously the slumber party. There's always a pizza delivery, except for the fourth one.
Yeah.
And even then, they still have pizza. There's always the boys that come to scare them.
And that peek in the window.
Or in the peek in the window. It's very consistent. But man, I love some of the script flipping that they do in the fourth. In the remake.
So this one has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 okay. total deaths in this one. So this one's got the most kills out of the entire franchise. We got drilled in the chest, drilled in the stomach, drilled in the side of the throat. That one was,
like,
holy fuck. Drilled through the throat, eyes gouged, gouged out, drilled in the groin, drilled in the forehead, face shredded. Small part of his throat slashed open by Dana Devereaux with a curved machete. That was Russ. Matt got stabbed through the back of the nipple.
With a Sawzall.
With a small serrated
through
knife.
Through his heart tattoo that says Lila.
Ashley got her face shredded by Kay with car blades.
Oh, man. The guy with the guitar. Guy 2. Which was great. Guy 1 and Guy 2.
Yeah. Those were their actual
names.
That was
fantastic. But Guy 2, when he gets drilled and the guitar string is on the drill and it just shreds his face.
That shit was rough. And then Kay Thorne got impaled through the chest.
Yes.
13 kills, man.
Whew. Wow. I thought the scene was funny when the guy left Dana when he got in the car and just left.
So this one's getting a solid 4.2.
Definitely. This is a 4 for me.
4. I'm going to give it a 4.
I love this one. This is, to me, just towered above all the other ones in the entire franchise.
I can't say it enough. I loved it. I'll definitely rewatch it.
Yeah.
I'll probably, out of the original trilogy, I'm more likely to rewatch part 2 than I think the others. Just because it's so bonkers and so crazy.
It's
one of those movies that you tell people, you're not going to believe this
shit. You're not going to believe this shit. You should really watch this. And despite my original inclinations, I would say to people, if you've not seen this whole franchise, you probably should watch the whole franchise.
I really think you should.
And you should definitely watch part 2.
Yeah.
Because
Yeah, show the ladies some love. They really put together some fantastic work.
So how would you write? What would you put in fourth place?
As last part three.
Part three. Yeah.
Is that where you're
easily?
At? Yeah.
Easily.
Okay. Yeah. Then next.
And then third place for me is part two.
Third place for me is part one.
Okay. So second place is part
two.
One for me.
Part two.
First place is the remake. No,
the remake. Yeah.
Because the remake was, goddamn, that was.
They're so cool. Fantastic.
The remake was so fun.
It is.
And it was more fun than all the other ones, I thought. I could see making the case that part two was pretty fun.
Part two was a blast.
Number four, the remake to me was...
Look, don't let me find a fucking Driller Killer guitar somewhere.
Oh, man. I was, as soon as I will confess, I was like, I wonder where I can pick up a really cheap electric guitar, because I could make one of these. As much as I did not... was not a huge fan of the movie. I want to make that guitar.
I want to kind of dress up as the Driller Killer from Part 2, you know, for Halloween or some
if
shit.
If you ever want to do that, you let me know. I will make the guitar.
I think we should start that project immediately.
I'm already going through my head what I need to make
logistics,
this guitar.
Right?
Yeah, and it's already like, okay, I could do that with that, and I could piece this together. I got it. So, right. Yeah, that is the Slumber Party Massacre franchise. Get your buds, get your pizza.
And your sleeping bags.
Get your sleeping bags, get your nighties.
Have a great fucking time.
Male or female, we don't judge. Do you want? We'll be back next week.
Yeah, stay creepy.